Good evening. This is the evening message for Sunday, May the 10th, Mother's Day, 2020. So again, to all the moms, I hope you had a wonderful day. Hope you got to spend some time with your children or at least talk to them. And again, if you're not a mom, I hope you spent some time loving on your mom. If you still have her with you, contacting her. And again, if you haven't done that, please do that before the day's over. Call her. Let her know that you love her. Tonight, I'm going to preach a second Mother's Day message about a woman that the Bible calls great. We find her story in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I just want to read a couple verses from that story, and then I'll spend the message telling this woman's story, different parts of 2 Kings chapter 4. But let's read for our scripture reading tonight, verses 8 through 10, where the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this day that we've set aside to honor our moms. And I pray that each one listening has done that. They've honored their mom in some way today. And I pray, Father, that all the mothers that are listening tonight, in some way, they've been loved on today by their children. I pray tonight as we open your book again and look into it, and as we look at this woman that you call great, I pray that we could learn from her life. And then, Father, I also pray for those that might be listening that don't know Christ. I pray during this time, Holy Spirit, that you'll convict them of their sin, their need for a Savior, and help them see that Jesus is the only one that works. So bless the time we spend in your word. Bless the preaching of it. Ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, one of the verses we read, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." You know, the Bible is very careful in its use of adjectives. It doesn't waste time on giving improper eulogies to anyone. It does not give applause where it ought not to be given. And this is one of the evidences that the Bible is the Word of God, dictated word for word to human authors by a holy God. So it says in Shunem, there was a great woman. Great, not in the eyes of men, although she may have very well been great in the eyes of men. And it's not important that we be great in the eyes of men, but it's very important. It's a very honored position to be great in the eyes of God. And it was God in his word that called this woman great. Tonight, on this Mother's Day evening, I want to share with you a simple message. I've entitled it, "A Great Woman." And the question for the evening is, what made this woman great? What made her great in the eyes of God? The desire of every little girl, the desire of every teenage girl, the desire of every woman that hears this message tonight, you ought to have that desire to be great in the eyes of God. Well, what made her great? Well, to answer that question, I want to look at her story. Again, it's told in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to draw your attention to three scenes in this story to point out three characteristics that I think made this woman great in the eyes of God. The first one is, and we read part of it, but the first characteristic I will point out to you tonight is the help that she gave others. I think this is an area where women always exceed men. I think they perceive more quickly the needs in other people. And God has given them a unique ability to, to know when, where, and how to relieve that need far better than men. And I think it was true in the life of the Shunammite woman. She saw Elijah and his servant passing by. Elijah was a prophet. He was going about doing the work that a prophet did, sharing God's word, leading God's people. He passed by her house often, and the Bible says that every time he passed by, she had them in for dinner. She would serve them bread. And one day she said to her husband, and we read this verse a moment ago. It's verse 9 and 10. I perceive this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. She said, well, let's just make him a little bedroom. Let's put a bed and a stool and a table and a candlestick. And every time he passes by, if he needs a place to rest, he can just come into our house. We can feed him, and he'll have a place to sleep. First mentioned in the Bible of what we know as the prophet's chamber, a place where a prophet could come and rest and eat and refresh themselves. I remember growing up, we had a prophet's chamber in our house. It wasn't that all the time. Most of the time, it was my little brother's bedroom. But I can remember when we would have visiting preachers or visiting missionaries come, that my mom and dad would kick my little brother out of his room, and they would have his room and his bed, and it was, they would come home with us to eat and rest and spend the night. And I can remember, especially some of the missionaries we had in their house, sitting at their feet and listening to their stories. They told them in church, but they always told us more when they came into the house, and we'd set up at night before we went to bed and hear their stories of how they were serving God. This Shunammite woman was one that helped others. God would have every one of us be a helper of others. God would have every single one of us to be a servant. In Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to judge us on how we've helped others. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 27, the Bible says, "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." I read a story one time about the president of Wesley University. It's a woman's college outside of Boston. And the president of the university was a very refined and well-educated woman. But every Monday night, after the school day was over, she went to one of the poorer sections of Boston to talk to the women of the neighborhood in the hopes that she could help them be happy and useful. The story is that one Monday night, it was in the winter, the weather was really, really bad. It was cold, it was snowing, and the president of the college said to herself, well, I would go, but I'm sure there's nobody that's going to be there. I'll just stay home. Nobody will be there. Nobody will miss me. No harm will be done. And then she thought, I've been teaching that the young ladies in the college must learn to keep their appointments. If they make an appointment, they got to do everything they can to keep that appointment. So I've got to practice what I preach. And so even though she thought that nobody would be there, she went to the hall where she usually had her Monday night meetings. And to her surprise, the hall was more crowded than usual. And she got up and to the podium and she said, I have a confession to make. I didn't think anybody would come tonight. The only reason that I came, in all honesty, was I've been teaching how young ladies should learn to keep their appointments. And I came just to keep my appointment. I didn't think anybody would be here. And I didn't really think about what I would teach on tonight. So I have no message to give you tonight. And one lady stood up in the back of the hall, poorly dressed, and said, just tell us, please, if you can, how women in our plight can be happy. And the college president thought for a minute and she says, okay, I'm going to tell you three things. Number one, memorize something beautiful every day. Preferably from the Word of God. Find something beautiful in the Bible and memorize it. Chapter and verse and the verse itself, memorize it and meditate it on it every day. Second, look for something beautiful every day. Now, I know we're in the middle of winter. It might be hard to find something beautiful. But maybe it's a flower in a window. Maybe it's the kindness that somebody does to somebody else. But look for something beautiful every day. And then number three, every day make it a point to help somebody out. Every day look for a need that you can meet. Do an errand for somebody. Make a cookie. Say a kind word. Write a note. Every day help somebody else. And the story goes that the women that were there that night took heed to that message. And within 6 months, that section of Boston was transformed. The women that had been there had gone out and they'd done those three things every day, and that community was changed for good. I would submit to you tonight that our community and our nation could be transformed if we would make it a point every day to help somebody else, to help somebody else. So what are the characteristics that made this woman great? Number one, she was a help to others. Number two, she was content with her life. She made this little room for Elisha and his servant. The prophet was grateful. He wanted to show his gratitude. So he had his servant call her in, and she came, and he says, and I'm reading from verse 13, and he said unto 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 13, and he said unto her, say now unto her, and he's talking to a servant, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. This was a day, excuse me, this was a day when prophets moved among kings, when prophets moved among the commanders of the army. They had opportunities as they moved in those circles to make requests for other people. And so what Elisha was saying is, hey, I move in the circle of kings. I move in the circle of generals. I can put in a special request. What would you have me ask on your behalf? What he was saying, I want to repay your kindness. Would you have a speak on your behalf to the king, or would you have a speak to the captain of the host? And notice what she said in verse 13. I dwell among my own people. What she was saying is, look, I don't dwell among kings. I don't dwell among commanders. I belong right where I am. If I can be of service to anyone, it's among my own people. I was reared here. This is where I live. If I can be of any value, it's right here. Now, again, we can speculate how most people, if given that same opportunity, if asked that same question by Elisha or his servant, how many would respond. We're always looking for a leg up. We're always looking for a way to gain an advantage. And she simply said, no, I'm content right where I am. This is where God wants me. This is where God can use me. And so many times God tells us we just need to be content. We just need to be content with where he's placed us and what the lot that he's given us in life and what he wants us to do. In Proverbs 17:22, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Many people get so discontent that they're never satisfied with anything. They always want more. And they're always out to get something more. And because they have that desire that's never satisfied, they get sick. They're always down in the dumps. God says, hey, be content. Be happy with your lot. It's like a medicine. a good medicine. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the Bible says, rejoice evermore. Be happy. Contentment is a help. The lack of commitment not only hurts the person, but it hurts others, and it hurts the cause of Christ. The Lord calls for rejoicing. He calls for triumph. He calls for victory. A Christian that's always down in the dumps, a Christian that's always grumpy and discontent, has a long face and a frown, that's always down, it always says, woe is me. Who's going to want that kind of Christianity? That's not the kind of Christianity the world's looking for. They're looking for the brightness. They're looking for the victory. They're looking for the contentment. Paul said in Philippians, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, Paul was not always in the best of circumstances. I mean, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. And Paul said, it doesn't make any difference what my circumstances are. The situation doesn't matter. I'm not going to let the situation master me. I'm going to master the situation. And whatever it is, I'm going to make the best of it. And I'm going to be content. I remember reading something that Mark Twain said one time. He put up at a boarding house, and that night, a dog out in the alley barked all night. All night, the dog barked. Hardly anybody could get any sleep. The next morning at breakfast, everyone was pouring out complaints about that dog. And Mark Twain said, hey, let's talk about something else. That poor dog has enough trouble of his own. That's what caused him to bark all night. I remember reading another story. This took place on a New York subway, told by a Presbyterian minister. He said, I was riding on this subway, and I had a ways to go, and so I passed many stations. And at every station, when the door opened, it creaked and squeaked. It sounded like it was going to fall off the hinges. So every time the door opened, every time somebody got on or somebody got off, the door just squeaked and creaked. Now, the minister said, sitting next to me was a plain working man. He kept looking at the door. Finally, he says, I think I could fix that. And so he got up, and out of his pocket, he pulled a little can of oil, and he went to work, and he oiled the whole hinge. It was a door-length hinge on the door of that subway, and he put oil in every crack that he could find it. And sure enough, the next time it opened, it didn't squeak. That's the way we as Christians ought to live. We ought to always have a can of oil. There are creaky doors everywhere. We need the oil of Christian kindness to get them to quit squeaking. There's no place for in our lives for grumbling or complaining, pessimism, discord, or discontent. That won't help anyone. And you say tonight, well, preacher, you just don't know what's happened in my life. I've had a terrible tragedy. I've had an awful hurt. And I can't tell you tonight why God allowed it, but I will say he wants you to make the best of it. He wants you to use it. Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't know what God's working in your life, but I know that he loves you. And I know that he works all things together for good. And the longest our affliction can last is 70, 80, 100 years. But that's just a moment on God's watch. He's preparing us for eternity. Now, there's two ways. So the second characteristics of this woman was her contentment. There's two ways for us to be content. Number one, to want what we have. And number two, to trust God. Just turn it all over to him. Say, I'm not going to worry about it. I know you're going to work it out. However you do it will be fine with me. All right, so I got to hurry. So this woman was great. And again, talking about three characteristics that made her great. Number one, she was helpful. Number two, she was content. And number three, she had great faith. Great faith. Elisha said, "How can we repay you?" She said, "I dwell among my own people. I don't need anything." His servant pointed out, she didn't have any children. She didn't have any children. And he said to her in verse 16, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Don't tease me. I've always wanted a child, but it's not God's will. I've never had one. So don't tell me a lie." Again, back in that time, motherhood was a sacred position. Women thought that when they had a child, it was a blessing from God. And by the way, it is a blessing from God. But they thought that if they didn't have children, that for some reason God did not bless them. Verse 17 says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son." So she had that boy that Elisha promised to her. She had a son. She adored him. She gave her best to raise that son. She trained him. Child was now grown. He was working in the field with his dad. Harvest time. Bible says he fell sick. Perhaps it was sunstroke. Perhaps it was something else. Dad said, "Carry him to his mother." And again, who do we go to when we got sick? Who do we go to when we got a hurt? Who do we go to when we had a boo-boo? We usually went to mom. And the Bible says that he sat on her knees until noon. He laid his head on her lap. I'm sure maybe she put a cold cloth on it, trying to keep him cool. But the Bible says that he died. This child that Elisha had promised this Shunammite woman to repay her for the kindness that she had shown him and providing a little prophet's chamber for him to come and rest, died. I mean, again, here was a woman who had given up having children. Here was a woman who had a child probably later in life. Here was a woman who had a child because a promise from the prophet of God. And now that child had grown into young adulthood and had died on his mother's lap. Now, most moms would have wept, and I'm sure she did her share of weeping. Most would have started planning the funeral. Most would have said, "It's over, there's no more hope." But not this woman. The Bible says that she took her son and laid him on the prophet's bed. In that prophet's chamber that she had prepared for Elisha, she laid her son on his bed. Then she went to her husband. She said, "I need a donkey, and I need a young man to go with me. I need to go see the man of God." And her husband said, "Why? Why do you?" She said, "Don't worry about it. I just need to go see the man of God." Elisha, the Bible tells us, was on Mount Carmel, and he sees her coming. And he says to a servant, "Go to her and ask, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" Now, she answered, "It is well." Now, look down at verse 27. "And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi," that was Elisha's servant, "came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?' Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her." When she came to Elisha, she grabbed his feet and said, and told him, "My son's dead. I didn't ask for a son. I told you did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I say, do not deceive me?" That's what she said. I didn't desire a son. And Elisha said to his servant, God's hidden this from me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my staff. There was power in the staff, not because of the piece of wood, but because of the man it belonged to and the God who the man belonged to. He says, I want you to lay it on the face of that boy. Maybe God will restore his life. And this woman said, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not going to leave you until you go with me. And so Elisha says, okay, let's go. The servant had laid the staff on the young man's face, and it hadn't brought him back to life. And so Elisha goes in, shuts the door, and prays. And I don't have time. You can read the story in the last part of chapter 4. And God restores his life. And in verse 36, he says, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. God has restored his life. Tonight, I ask the question that Elijah asked that mother. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? The thing that made the difference in this story, at the end of this story, is this woman's faith. She did the same thing that the woman we talked to, the Canaanite woman we talked about this morning, that came to Jesus and asked his help for her daughter. This woman did the same thing. The Shunammite woman did the same thing to Elisha. She said, I'm not letting you go. I'm not leaving till you come with me. I'm not going to quit begging you until you help me, until you restore the life of my son. So again, I ask the question, is it well with you? Are you living the life that you ought to live? Are you living a life that a mother ought to live? Are you living a life that a father ought to live? Again, what made this woman great was the fact that she was helpful. What made this woman great was the fact that she was content. And what made this woman great was her faith. God would say about her, same thing Jesus said about the woman we studied this morning. Great is thy faith. What do you want? I'm going to give it to you because of your faith. And that young man, his life was restored. And I mean, when we get to heaven, he's one of the people I want to talk to. I want to hear his story. I want to meet his mom. I want to hear her tell us. I want to hear her tell me about her encounter with Elijah that day on Mount Carmel, where she says, I'm not leaving until you come help me. A great woman. God called her a great woman. Again, because she was helpful, because she was content, because of her great faith. We need to have that same kind of faith. And we need to put that faith in God and in Christ. And again, if you're listening tonight and you don't know Jesus, you need to come to him. All of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to live among us. He lived a perfect life, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then God allowed us to take him and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, he paid for all of our sins. Because he did, God can offer to all of us the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On this Mother's Day, would you take that gift? Would you take the gift of salvation that God offers to every person? Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the example of this great woman. And I pray that we would be a help, we would be content, and we would be people of great faith. Father, I pray that you would make it so. And again, I pray if there's anybody listening that doesn't know Christ, you would help them admit they're a sinner. You would help them acknowledge that there's a penalty for that sin, and you would help them believe that Jesus is your son and he died to pay for their sin. Help them to receive him tonight if they haven't. Bless Christians. Help us to be people of faith. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.